This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
All righty, we're at 12:15, and nice-looking Thursday afternoon. Tomorrow, a little bit different picture, and it's always kind of a mixed bag on Memorial Day weekend, and we should finish up nicely on Monday. So, well, let's say hello to our first guest, and that is Carville Skinnerland, who is with the group Friends of Leavenworth, and quite the issue up in Leavenworth, the proposed Adventureland Park. And Carville, thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great, thank you.
I know that your organization didn't get the news that it necessarily wanted on Monday when the hearings examiner upheld the city of Leavenworth's findings on the adventure park kind of moving forward, at least as far as some of the decision there. I know that there was a concession maybe on operating hours, but I know that you've got kind of a decision to make over the next 21 days. So let's get a little bit of perspective on where the group's sitting right now. But before we kind of dive into that, let's find out how did Friends of Leavenworth come together? I had wondered if it was with the advent of this proposal coming along, but you said no, we were a group of concerned citizens really kind of at about the same time this came along. So tell us a little bit about Friends of Leavenworth, Carville.
Sure. We started as an informal group, and we're having community meetings at the local fire hall that were open to anyone to attend. And we had a number of issues we were tracking with the city, one of which was traffic. And then the Adventure Park came along, and we had interest in that. And also a lot of the people who were attending our meetings were very concerned about that. So around the same time, we did form formal organization and registered with the state, and we do have federal tax exempt status now, so we're a bona fide nonprofit organization.
The group is concerned about obviously the things that have been most publicized: noise, lights, traffic, parking, congestion, a number of issues for this proposal. And, you know, from the outside, folks that don't live in Leavenworth might think, well, this is looks like a neat attraction. A person has some private property there. They want to put in this this project. But your group feels, and I'll let you maybe describe your concerns in certainly your own words, but not the right project for that location. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what people, what we feel the majority of the community feels. It's a fine project, but in the wrong spot. We feel the site is too small for the use. It's too close to residential neighborhoods. It's too close to downtown. And actually, these kind of Alpine Coaster Adventure Park projects around the country, we looked at about 35 different ones, and with a couple of exceptions, they're located way outside of towns and up at ski resorts, so it would be unusual for them to locate, for a project like this to locate so close to town. And we feel the landowner, who is actually not the developer just has an option on the property, but the landowner, under the tourist commercial zoning, can do a whole lot of other things like a hotel, a motel, a gas station, condos, and we feel any of those uses would be less impact on the community than the proposed adventure park. So we're not saying no development. We're just saying we don't like what's proposed.
For people who aren't familiar with the location, it would be basically right there at Highway 2 and Icicle Road there, just after, just to the east there of the exit of the Tumwater Canyon area, correct?
That's correct, yes. And it's a 10-acre parcel right on the corner. And because of the nature of the use, there are a lot of people coming and going, you know, throughout the day. They anticipate about 100,000 visitors a year. So that's just a lot of activity on a intersection that already is pretty congested during weekends and pretty much throughout the summer. And it's on a major bike path, so we just feel a use that doesn't have so much traffic associated with it would be much preferable for the community.
We're talking with Kierville Skinnerlin, who is on the board of Friends of Leavenworth. The hearings examiner event a couple of weeks ago, the decision that he just rendered earlier this week, you had about 200 or so in attendance, about 73, if I'm not mistaken. That number sticks in my head for some reason. I guess it's crooked numbers or easy to remember. A lot of folks spoke. Most of them were in opposition to the project. I'll give your perspective on the opposition to the project.
Yes, it was quite a diverse group. We were pleased at the turnout. It was well over 200, and as you said, slightly over 70 people spoke, and with the exception of about seven people, the rest were in opposition for a whole variety of reasons. Some of them were neighbors. Some of them were people that live on Icicle Road. Other people that live across Highway 2. But it was the same concerns that were repeated over and over, that there wasn't enough parking on the site for the number of visitors. A lot of concerns about traffic and especially safety for pedestrians and bicyclists. Concerns about the night sky lighting. The coaster goes up the hill about 235 feet in elevation, and so the lights would be visible throughout the valley at night. Noise was a huge concern. As you know, when people use coasters, they scream, and so the screams can carry actually quite a distance, particularly if it's being generated by someone who's elevated above the valley, and people felt there just wasn't enough separation between that outdoor use, because it's not just the coaster, it's a bungee trampoline, a rock climbing wall, and it's people are excited and having fun and, you know, making a lot of noise, and there's residential uses, condos and single-family homes right next to the property, so they feel their quality of life would just be ruined by having to listen to this 12 hours a day.
The hearings examiner had pointed out that part of, a project like this can't solely be approved or not allowed simply because the neighbors don't want it, essentially. I mean, you just kind of distill down to that. What is your group's reaction to that opinion?
Well, that's apparently comes from case law. There was a decision made at some point in the past that set a precedent. So it's worded something to the effect it can't be solely, a project can't be denied solely because of community opposition. But we felt there were a whole lot of other reasons for denying the project. We feel it's not consistent with the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan actually calls for a motel, hotel, or similar use on that specific property, so not for that kind of amusement park. We also feel a project can be not denied if the mitigation, environmental mitigation, can't take care of the problems, and we felt the traffic was not mitigated properly. We feel there really isn't much mitigation for the noise. And interestingly, the hearing examiner in one of his conditions said that if the noise was a problem after the project was in operation, there's a review. He specifies that years 1, 3, and 5. He said some of the mitigation could actually include enclosing the toboggans that go down the coaster tracks, which would be very, very expensive for the developer. So, and I haven't heard of any adventure parks around the country where they have enclosed the toboggans. So, anyway, we feel that the environmental impacts are not properly mitigated, and we aren't sure that they actually can be at that location.
Now, this is basically what's been proposed and what people have been hearing about is phase one of this project, correct? Which is there a phase two in the proposal?
Yeah.
What does that entail?
That entails a 5,000 square foot food service building. We don't know if it's a sit-down restaurant or more casual. There weren't details provided in the project description. And then there's what they call a Via Ferrata climbing experience, which are fixed anchors that would be on the mountainside, some of it over Highway 2, which we feel is a safety issue because it would be distracting. And then there is a ropes course, and I can't remember if that's part of phase one or phase two, but it's all adventure themed for people to have, you know, things that are exciting and somewhat challenging to do.
We are talking with Kirville Skinnerlin, who is one of the board members of Friends of Leavenworth. Kirville, one of the things that I've kind of wondered about this project, I mean, it's obvious, noise, lights, traffic, parking, congestion, I think folks could relate to that. But one of the things that I've wondered, playing a little bit of devil's advocate here, if you will, Leavenworth is already crowded. There's already a lot of things to do, particularly on a lot of people there, I should say, on festival weekend. But I've wondered about... So your group is concerned that this will actually bring a lot more people to Leavenworth, or because I think the developers or the folks that would like to see this there would think this is just an additional thing to do or additional activities while you're there in Leavenworth, besides essentially shopping or enjoying some of the other outdoor recreational amenities there, but. Your group is concerned that this actually brings a lot more people who wouldn't otherwise come. Is that the fear?
No, not particularly. I mean, we think it could draw people who are passing through town on their way maybe to Chelan or someplace east would stop off and use the Adventure Park. And there could be day use people coming from Wenatchee. The analysis that was done by Adventure Park was based strictly on use of hotel rooms, and they had a kind of a complicated way they extrapolated from the hotel room with the vacancy rates and the fill rates on our hotel rooms in town to look at the number of visitors. So I don't think there was really data collected by either the developer or by us that can answer that question. But even if it's not a whole lot of new visitors, it'll be people drawn to that site, so it still will be creating traffic congestion, and the hearing examiner acknowledged that in his decision.
It is a real bottleneck there. I think all would potentially agree on that, that is a difficult spot there. So
right.
Whether that can be mitigated, we will see. So you've got 21 days, I think, from Monday. That puts it about June 10th. Has your organization decided whether it's going to appeal? Because that comes with a price tag, I understand.
Right, yes. It would cost, many thousands of dollars. We estimate between $15,000 and $25,000 to file an appeal. We're doing two things. We are consulting with our attorney to see what he sees as the pros and cons of filing an appeal. And then we are going to rely very heavily on what our supporters want. We have sent an email out to our list of more than 800 people and asked them to let us know whether they find the hearing examiner decision with the slightly reduced hours and the subsequent reviews to be satisfactory or whether they still are totally opposed to the project. So far, the responses we're getting are heavily in favor of appealing to Superior Court. People just don't want that project located at the corner of Highway 2 and Icicle Road.
And I did slip past one of my questions as we kind of got into the conversation. Part of the hearings examining process was whether or not the city had gone through the proper environmental review of this project. And I know that that was a challenge of the Friends of Leavenworth, of the city decision. What were your primary concerns of that environmental review?
Well, we felt the parking was not adequate, especially for Phase 2. They don't require any additional parking for Phase 2, even though that 5,000-square-foot building is being added, which we feel will make people hang around longer, you know, and have a meal. There's just a study required. We felt that the traffic wasn't mitigated properly. There may be need, if not too distant future, for some kind of traffic circle or a traffic light there. Noise wasn't really addressed at all. There were no studies done at that site to generate, you know, sounds at the decibels that shouts and screams could be heard, and to see how far they went. And as I say, there isn't a whole lot you can do to mitigate for noise. Maybe some landscaping, but it doesn't do a whole lot for people. So we felt that the environmental document was not complete and not comprehensive, as we believe the state law requires.
Well, Kerrville, I sure appreciate your time today. Kerrville Skinnerlin is one of the board members of Friends of Leavenworth. You already have an extensive group of supporters, 800 or so, I think was the number you mentioned. How do folks get in touch or follow information on Friends of Leavenworth? I know you have a website.
Right. The website's the best way, which is www.friendsofleavenworth.org. And they can go to that site, and we try to keep it current with information. And there, if you want to get on our mailing list, there's a place there that you can click on and put in your email address and name, and you'll automatically be added to our email list.
Okay, we appreciate the time today, and we'll see what the next 21 days brings.
Yes, we will.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. News Radio 560 KPQ time, 12:32 now. Well, we'll see what the stage kids are up to next. I'll give you a little hint. James and the Giant Peach a little later on this month. And we'll talk with Michelle McCormick, who is the Stage Kids Artistic Director, next on The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Well, we say hello to Michelle McCormick. She's the Stage Kids Artistic Director. And Michelle, good to meet you. I've seen you around the studio before on some of your other visits, but good to talk with you in person today.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
Well, James and the Giant Peach, you know, I never saw that movie, but sounds like a fun production for the kids.
Absolutely. And it's based on Roald Dahl's book, he also wrote Willy Wonka. So it's a very magical, well-known, and he actually wrote this before Willy Wonka. And there's a little nod to a future show in this, a future book. And so it's part of this musical. But, it's going to be a fun, fun one. It's new. It only came out as a musical a couple years ago. So a lot of people haven't seen it, don't know what it's about, but it's going to be a fun show.
Does it have a little bit of the feel and the magic of Willy Wonka?
Absolutely. And actually, I'm glad you haven't seen the movie, because it's a little bit dark, and this show is not at all. So I want parents to realize it is nothing like the movie. It is very lighthearted, magical, comical, and has incredible music. The music is written by Pasek and Paul, and those composers did The Greatest Showman, which we all love, and they did La La Land and other just well-known musicals. So the music's absolutely incredible.
Awesome. So Stage Kids, how many kids are in Stage Kids? Because I see when I see Stage Kids around, there's a bunch of them, and they got all the T-shirts on.
Oh, yeah. They represent well, right? We have had 590 kids involved this year. And in this production, we have 95 performers.
That's almost 600 kids have been involved. What has made this such a smash hit, to borrow a phrase there?
Well, 6 years ago now, when I moved to the community, I realized this is an arts community. We love musicals. We love performing arts. But there was that gap of a year-round program, and that's exactly what I have done in the past in California. So I was excited to get it started here, and I think we just filled a need. There was a little niche that needed to be filled, and so I think that's the growth. And also once kids discover it, I mean, for me personally, in fifth grade, I hit a musical, and then I realized that was my thing. I wasn't the sports kid. I didn't do other things, but it just hit me. It hit home with me, and I think kids are discovering it.
What kind of growth do you see in children that maybe a little timid or haven't figured out, hey, I don't like sports, or maybe I love sports, but I also love this whole drama and theater thing, too?
We just challenge kids to go to the next step. We don't push them to do more than they're willing to try, but we've seen kids go from hugging their mom's leg, not wanting to enter, to standing up, singing full solos in front of an audience. And so we have seen incredible growth and confidence, but we also emphasize teamwork and responsibility. Those are our values as an organization that we really focus on.
What kind of a time commitment for parents that haven't had a youngster involved and are kind of wondering, this is maybe for my youngster?
Sure. We have different entry points. Coming up, we have summer camps, and that ranges from age 4 on up to 17. And then we have, in the fall, we have classes if kids just want to try it out. We have what's called Musical Theater 1. It's a great entry point for kids to kind of just dabble in it, find out if it's something like they'd like to pursue. And this year, we offered 13 classes. So if they're all over the place. Kids can just try different aspects, voice, dance, and so on, and then decide if they want to jump into a musical. And that requires more time. We have 2 rehearsals a week. And it's a bigger commitment to be involved in a show, but it's also incredible payoffs.
So what about parents' involvement as well? Do you need parents to help with building sets or things like that? To tell them about
the
parents?
We do, absolutely. And community involvement, which is really exciting. We have people that don't even have children involved in the program who enjoy building. And we have retirees and different people who will help us with programs and sewing and things like that to help put it on. It really is a community program. But we do ask for parental involvement when a child commits to a show. Now, not for summer camps, not for classes, but if they do decide to commit to a show, we do have parental involvement, and we ask what area they'd like to be involved in.
So how are you supporting this financially? How are you raising money keep this thing going so strong?
Well, I will tell you, people don't realize how much, because everything from getting the rights to a show and renting a theater and all, it really adds up. But currently, we are able to cover our costs with show sponsors. We do have community sponsors that get behind us, and we do registrations and ticket sales. We'd love to and hope to do some more fundraising, so we'll let you know about that in the future. But currently, that's really where it comes from.
Good old-fashioned community support.
Community support. And we have had grants from the Woods Family Foundation that help us each year, and Helping Hands Grant. We usually get those smaller grants that help us in big ways, because that money goes a long ways for a kids program. So,
well, James and the Giant Peach is coming up. The show dates are going to be May 29th through June 2nd, and 8 performances. Where do you guys perform at?
At the Numerica Performing Arts Center. So we get a privilege of working on that big stage. Tickets are available through the box office by phone or online, or just walk up to the box office and buy your tickets live right there.
Okay. We'll come back with, again, a reminder about getting tickets and all of that. Tell us a little about your background. You're the artistic director, so do you direct all the shows, or exactly what's your role?
Sure. I do direct the majority of the large shows at this point. I show share in the summertime. I have one other director. But my role is everything programs. So I organize, get the staff in line and trained and ready to do classes and put together our summer programs, and then everything that comes in contact with parents and programs is usually me. And then we have a new managing director, Lacey Price, and she is now our managing director to handle fundraising and all things business, which has freed me up to do what I actually do best. So,
which is be enthusiastic.
Be enthusiastic. Have fun with kids and parents.
So tell us a little bit about your theater background, because you obviously are very comfortable probably performing. You must have a performance background. So tell us a little bit about that from in California, I picked up on.
Yeah, I did. I grew up in Southern California. I did musicals at my church. I went to a large church that had children's programs. My mom was a pianist for many of those, so I was in some special ensembles. And then into high school, I had the privilege of working under a director who also taught at a local college. So we did very large productions for teenagers. And I was the costume crew head, and so I organized all the costumes for that. In college, I actually went to school for respiratory therapy, worked in a hospital for a while. And then when my kids got a little bit older, I had the opportunity to start directing in a school district in Arizona. And that is what grew from one job to the next, working in a district in California for 6 years, and then realizing the need. We needed a small community theater where I lived, and launched Stage Kids in California in 2010.
Wonderful. I'm from Downey, California.
So, oh, are you?
Yeah.
I grew up in Glendora.
Okay. There you go. So it is amazing what talented people we have for, I think, an area this size here in the Wenatchee Valley up into Leavenworth. I just kind of count this in North Central Washington region as a whole. Just amazingly talented people. It's like we got blessed with an extra dose of talent here, I think.
Absolutely. And I've been so privileged and welcomed, and I have just really enjoyed the relationships with the theaters here. It truly is amazing how much theater and just all performing arts and dance and music happens right here.
And if you could give one tip to a parent who thinks that their youngster is going to be too shy to try this, what little attribute that they may not be recognizing in their youngster that they may be overlooking why their youngster would love this?
Well, one thing I always encourage parents is don't use the word shy around your child, because kids get labeled and they become what we tell them they are. So my encouragement would be to affirm them every time they do something right. That was so nice that you said hello to her, and just affirm the positive, and then encourage them. The younger stage kids, the younger they can start, the better. And so I just encourage them, jump in wherever they're at and come give it a try, because I've had very few parents walk away and say, wow, my kid is less confident because of being in stage kids. I hear absolutely the opposite. Even if they make one little step forward, it's a win, right?
And there, when they're with the other kids, they're going to just want to jump right in and
they
get involved.
They do. That's why we have parents leave. Because when the parent's not watching, they want to do what the other kids are doing. And before they know it, they're not only participating, they're contributing. And that's exciting.
Yeah. It's just like preschool. And just remember those days when they were that young. All righty. When we come back, again, we'll give you some reminders on how to get your tickets for James and the Giant Peach, or even how to get your youngster involved with Stage Kids. And our guest is Michelle McCormick, Stage Kids Artistic Director, on The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560, KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
All right, our closing moments with Michelle McCormick, Stage Kids Artistic Director, James of the Giant Peach. Again, going to be 8 performances May 29th through June 2nd. And again, run down the kind of the times and dates of those performances up at the New America Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, we open on Wednesday. So even if you're away for the weekend, come to our Wednesday or Thursday shows. We'd love to see you. And again, it is just a fun show. We've got kids loving to perform for kids. And I will tell you that it's magical. Things happen. There's glow things. There's fun fantasy puppets and things your children are just going to be captivated by.
And if you'd like to get your youngster involved in maybe go to the show, maybe could you kind of talk with anyone with the organization after the performance?
Absolutely. We mingle in the lobby. We'd be happy to talk to you, meet your children, tell you about summer camps. We'll look forward to seeing you at the show.
All righty. There have been about 600 kids involved in this organization, so you guys aren't going anywhere. It is really something. By the way, I forgot to ask, when did Stage Kids, get started? So how many years have you been around now?
This September is our 5-year anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
And so thank you. It's really exciting. And we're actually going to do something super special. Can I tell you what it is?
Yeah, okay.
For our 5-year anniversary, we are going to do a family show for the very first time, and it's a one-off. It's just going to be to commemorate our 5-year anniversary. that stage kids, older siblings, and parents can be in the show with them. So I think that is going to be a super touch point for parents to do something with their child.
You
want to know what the show is?
You're kind of leaving us hanging there. It's a wonderful tease. What's the show?
We are going to do the American classic, The Music Man.
Oh, awesome.
Which is a multi-generational show, and we're going to be performing it at the Performing Arts Center this fall. So okay. We'll love to see you there, too.
Well, maybe you'll get some alums to come back to the community as well. I'm thinking of our former boss. I'd love to see him, and I know his daughter was very active in Stage Kids as well. And again, check out the America Performing Arts Center website. You can get tickets there, or just come on down to the get them right there at the door. It should be fine.
Yes.
Again, May 29th through June 2nd, 8 performances for James and the Giant Peach. It's the next production for Stage Kids. And delight to meet you. Thanks, Michelle, for coming in today.
Thanks for having me. See you at the show.
Michelle McCormick, the Stage Kids Artistic Director.